Amen. Thank you very much. Yes, him and the quartet, they'll be back with us after the service today for more gospel singing. And we thank the Lord for their testimony first. I mean, what good if you can preach and sing and don't have a testimony? Do you know that? But I'm glad to have a testimony, and then they sing their testimony. Now, you don't have to turn in your Bible. I'm just going to preach to you on base my message on a portion of God's Word. Found in Second Timothy 1, verse 12, just a portion of that verse. For I know the Apostle Paul, because he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Paul said, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I know. And I'm persuaded he's going to keep me. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful assurance? Let's bow our heads and ask God to bless today. Father, thank you for the good Sunday school hour, the blessing on the Word of God as it's taught, and thank you for the blessing of the Word of God as we've heard it sung this morning by the Gethsemane Quartet and these wonderful hymns. And now, Lord, bless thy Word, the inspired, infallible Word from eternal Word, sent down from the heaven, the eternally settled Word, as we hear it preached now, Lord. And may Jesus be exalted. May we lift him up. And Lord, help man not to get glory, but may only the Lord get glory through everything that goes on these grounds. Help us, Lord, to give you the glory today. Lord, I want to give you the glory. Would you help me? May Jesus be lifted up. Holy Spirit of God, oh, give us help from that other world. And Lord, I can't do it in the flesh. Nobody can. And if anything eternal's done, Lord, you'll have to help today. And Lord, touch me and anoint me. And Lord, if everything it's accomplished, anybody's saved, anybody helped, anybody blessed, we'll try to give Jesus the glory the best we know how. And make it easy, Lord, for people to get something from the Lord. And make it easy for people to come down this aisle to join the church, rededicate their life, or get saved when the invitation's given. Lord, defeat the devil now and hindering spirits, and give me the anointing and liberty I need. That what the man of God wanted from Elisha wanted, that double portion. Lord, I just appreciate it if you'd give me just a little bit of that double portion today. Lord, I'll thank you if you'll do it. I'll fail without your help now. And Lord, help me and bless this people, we pray in Jesus' name. Bless all over these grounds and our children's churches and preschool, we pray. And may the Lord be glorified. May somebody be in heaven because of what goes on these grounds today. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. The Apostle Paul knew that he was saved. He said, and I'm persuaded. I'm convinced that he's going to keep me. He's going to keep me. And, you know, real Bible salvation, folks, is a no-so salvation. That's the only kind of salvation there is a no-so salvation. There's no hope-so salvation. It's only a no-so. And I know, realize, saved people, the devil can get blindside you and get you wondering if you're saved or not at times, but then the Lord will bring you out of it if you're really saved. But real salvation is an eternal salvation. It's a no-so salvation. And some people say, well, I believe you can't know till you die where you're saved. Now, it's too late to find out then. You better know before you leave here. Time is the dressing room for eternity. And so I'm glad that we as God's children can know we're saved on our way to heaven. I'm glad I had a saved mom and dad. Greatest thing in the world is for a boy or girl to have a saved mom and dad who lives in front of them for the Lord 24 hours a day. 7 days a week. I'm glad I had a heritage of the old-time religion. I'm glad I didn't... Boys, listen, girl, don't talk. Girl's right here on the front row. Hey, look, I set up now. Don't talk. Don't talk now. Let me do the talking. But I'm glad that I had a heritage of old-time religion. Around my hometown, there were some people who really knew God. And it's wonderful. But there's not many people know God today, folks. And I'm glad I was raised around some people that I saw that these people meant business and they were really saved. I'm glad I've always believed there's a God. I grew up around where people just believe there's a God. I mean, I just grew up believing there's a God. And I'm glad that I never had to fight off a doubt, was there a God? I mean, this thing just didn't happen. That's all. I mean, there had to be something behind this thing. It just didn't happen. And I'm glad that I grew up around people who feared God. And so I had instilled me a fear for God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the psalmist said. Problem with America today, there's no fear of God before their eyes. People couldn't care less whether it's a God or a devil or heaven or hell. They couldn't care less. I'm glad that I grew up believing that the Bible was God's word from cover to cover. And I've had a few liberal, I won't call them brethren, they might be friends, but not brethren, who tried to laugh at the Bible as being inspired. But I'm glad I've had no trouble believing the Bible's God's word. I've had a lot of trouble understanding it, but I haven't had any trouble just believing it, whether I understood it or not. I'm glad of that. And I'm glad that I never did get into deep sin. I was saved when I was 13 years old, and I was saved before I was saved and escaped the ravages of sin. And I never touched beer, liquor, and wine. I'm glad I can say that. I never got off into immorality. I'm glad I can say that. Young people, the best thing you can say is 20, 30, 40 years down the line, stand up and say, I'm glad I've kept myself clean. And I'm glad I hadn't ever got on the cigarette habit. I hadn't smoked a pack of cigarettes in my life. I might have puffed a few times just I saw a boy smoking. I wonder just how that tastes. I'm glad I never got on. Coaches said, well, you can't play football and be an athlete and smoke, so I want to play ball. So that's one of the reasons. And then I found out Christians ought not smoke. It harms the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad that, well, I've said a lot of things I shouldn't say, but I've never one time take a knee, this mouth God's given me, and cursed the God that gave me this lip and these lips and this mouth. Never one time. And I tried to dance one time, and it didn't last too long. I made the biggest out to anybody in the world. But now listen, you think, well, your preacher's bragging. No, I'm glad I can say that, though. I'm not apologizing for anything I said there. I'm not bragging. But I certainly wouldn't apologize saying that. But even though I had Christian parents, even though I was raised around the old-time religion, even though I've never intellectually had any problem believing in God and had no intellectual no problem believing the Bible's the Word of God, and that I'd ever, even though I never did fall into deep sin, you know, I was still not a child of God. I was still on my way to hell. I was on the broad way that leads to destruction. And I still was not a child of God. I still had to get born again. I still had to become a child of God. I still needed to get saved. Now, you need to understand this. I still needed to get saved just as much as a drunkard in the ditch somewhere, or just as much as a woman out here selling her body in a red light district, or somebody on dope. I needed to get saved just as much as the worst sinner in the world. Now, folks, you got to see, if I can get you to see this today, it'll really help you. And everybody needs to see that. The Lord didn't come to save good people. Not one good person ever gets saved. You know that? You know something? The Lord doesn't save one goody-goody. You say, well, I'm not such bad. You'll never get saved. Well, preacher, I've never committed any bad crimes or never been whoremonger or on drugs. I think I'm pretty good. I think I'll trust my chances. You'll die without Jesus. You've got to get lost before you can get saved. You've got to realize you're a sinner before you can ever get saved. Jesus came to save and to save that which was lost. And so you got to know Christ personally. Do you know Him? Not are you a Baptist? Are you a preacher? Well, I'm not saved because I'm a preacher. Do you know that? Well, a lot of preachers are not saved unless they've missed Christ. A lot of deacons. You're not saved because you're a deacon or Sunday school teacher or a member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church or the Catholic Church or the Methodist Church or the Episcopal Church, any church. You're not saved because you're a church member, been baptized. Somebody said they went to a christening service this week, and they said that when they christened that little baby, I forgot exactly what this woman said, but she said that now when they christened him, you have eternal life. Somebody went to christen him. Now, I mean, your little baby didn't know what he's doing. Got his head where it's all happened to him. If Father Lashley could sprinkle you and give you eternal life, I'd get me a hose and I'd spray all of you here this morning. Wouldn't you, Floyd? You'd help me. You'd hold a hose, wouldn't you? That's true. You see, the thing, you got to know Christ personally. And the thing is, your bad works won't send you to hell and your good works won't take you to heaven. You know that? Only a real, living, vital faith in Jesus Christ will save your never dying soul. Now, I didn't want to preach. I hadn't even started my message yet. But the Lord wanted me to say what I had to say there. But I didn't want to preach the message I'm going to give you this morning. I don't want to exalt Gene Lashley. I've already got down on my knees this morning and said, Lord, this is what I believe you want me to say. Lord, would you just help me give you the glory out of it? I've already asked the Lord to help me give him the glory with his help. And if you think I'm exalting Gene Lashley today, I beg you now to forgive me. But I, as far as I can tell, the Lord wants me this morning to speak to you on how I know that I'm saved. Now, don't you sort of think, though, folks, it's a pretty good idea for a preacher to stand up and say, I know I'm saved? I mean, nothing wrong with a preacher being knowing he's saved, is it, Brother Steve? I don't know a thing wrong with that. Listen, preacher's in bad shape if he can't get up and say, I'm thankful the Lord saved me on the way to heaven. In fact, the preacher ought not preach till he first of all know he's saved. And then he can have, if a preacher can't stand up and say, I know I'm saved. I didn't save myself. I had nothing to do with the Lord saved me. But I'm glad I can testify I'm saved. Listen, he doesn't have a message till he can say that. And you don't either. And if you're saved, you can stand up and say, a child of God can stand up and say, basically, what I'm going to say today, every child of God. Not just a preacher, every child of God. Now, if you've been saved, say, 10, 20, 30 years, now a young Christian may not be able to say all I'm going to say, but a Christian who's been saved 15 or 20 years and live for Jesus Christ can say everything I'm going to say this morning. But I've been saved for over 40 years, and I know I appreciate you saying it. I know you think I look much younger than that, and you're so gracious, and you're so kind. But I want to give you a few reasons this morning why I know I'm saved. And I can preach 12:30 on what I'm going to say. But I'm just going to just give you what I feel like the Lord wants me to say. And we'll move on. The first reason that I know I'm saved is I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior on July 15th, 1945. Folks, that's a long time ago. I've got it in the back of my Bible here. Saved July 15, 1945. Jimmy Catlett was the evangelist, but Brother Bill Sisk was a preacher. Jimmy Catlett had to go back to his own church, and the home pastor preached that night. It was on Sunday night. And you've seen, Floyd, you've been to that old church. They tore it down. I was saved in an old church there that moved it, built another one right beside it and tore the old church down. And I was saved in that old Saudi Oak Street Baptist Church on that Sunday night. July 15, 1945. I'm glad that I stand up and say, I went there as a boy that night in the Boy Scout outfit. Was belonged to another church. Church, pretty good church then. That denomination's gone liberal now, but it was a pretty good church then. The old preacher was a godly man. But I went to this Baptist revival and came forward in the invitation and knelt at an altar. The old deacon put his arm around and said, Gene, you trust Christ. And I trusted Christ as my Savior. Look to him. Somehow, I got in that night. Somehow, I just didn't make a little profession. Somehow, I just didn't become a church member. Somehow, in God's grace and his sovereignty and his mercy, that he saved me that night. Now, the Lord hasn't always been pleased and satisfied with me. But I'm thankful that night that I found that Jesus is a wonderful Savior, and I've always been satisfied with Jesus. As a song says, I am satisfied, I am satisfied, I am satisfied with Jesus. But the message come to me as I think of Calvary, is my Savior satisfied with me? No question about it, I'm satisfied with Jesus. The question is He satisfied with me? But He's a wonderful Savior. And I'm glad I got in that night. A lot of things I could say about that. I was saved according to the Word of God. God's promise in His Word, Him that come to me, I will know when I was cast out. I came to Him that night. He said in His Word, John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power. Just receive Him. To them gave He power and authority to become the Son of God. And God says in His Word, the Philippian jailer, Acts 16:30-31 says, what must I do to be saved? The Apostle Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I was a poor boy. I was scared to death. I didn't come from my dad was a coal miner. Didn't come from a high-bred family. We were good people and hard workers. And there were born-again people in my family, which I'm thankful for. But I didn't have a whole lot to offer the Lord that night. But I trusted Him. Somehow I received Him, and He saved me that night. And I'm thankful. And He's promised in His Word that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You can get in tonight. Every one of you. I'm just glad the Lord was present the night I was saved and that I got in. The Lord's in the soul-saving business that night. It's not what anything I've done or anything I am. It was just what Jesus did for me. Now, folks, salvation is not what I can do for the Lord. You need to understand, we ought to work for Him, but salvation is not what I can do for the Lord. Real salvation is what has the Lord done for me. Now that's salvation. What has the Lord done for you? Has He saved you? He can if you will just receive Him. Let me move on. Lord, a lot I could say there. But another reason I know I'm saved because I trust in Jesus. And the Bible says that if we'll just believe on Him, trust Him, we'll be saved. That's what the Bible says. And God, listen, He'd move heaven and earth and hell to keep His Word. You can trust Him on the basis of what He says in His Word. Then a second thing. He changed my life that night. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, As I said, I was just a 13-year-old boy. I hadn't got out into wicked sin. I was still a sinner, but hadn't got out in wicked sin. But He changed my life. People may have not have noticed too much change, but what happened? I received Christ, and according to the Word of God, I received new life that night. And I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. And as I look back this morning, as I look back before I was saved, there was spiritual darkness before I was saved. After I was saved, I came into the light. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, folks, I want to help you. Listen to me now. I guess one of my faults is I try to be too practical and too plain. I don't guess you can when you're dealing with the souls of men. But listen to me now. I want to help you. I don't want to hurt you, but I want to be fair with your soul this morning. And if there's been no change in your life since you made a profession and joined the church, I doubt if you're saved. You've missed Jesus if there's been no change in your life. Because if you receive Jesus and were saved, there will be some change in your life. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. No, certainly not. But if you made a profession, didn't give up your drinking, you got beer at home in the refrigerator, if you didn't give up your immorality, if you didn't give up your cussing and your drugs and your lying and your cheating, and if that profession you'd made has not kept you out of the roadhouses, the dance halls, or the hell holds the world, friend, let me tell you this morning, God's called me to preach the truth to you. You don't have heaven-sent, true blue, blood-bought salvation.
Because there'll be some changes made. And now, that doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. There's going to be some changes made. You can't get a hold of this thing of the old-time religion and be the same. There'll be some changes made. Now, as I said, I'm not perfect. Now, my wife's sitting here, and she'll testify to that. Just hold it down, honey, to let them know how imperfect I am. But the Lord did change my life. I think what happens, the Lord changes us inside and gives us a desire to please Him and do His will. And I'm thankful that He did something for me and gave me a new desire. Now, I don't always please Him, but there's a desire to please Him down in my soul. Then a third thing, I know I'm saved because He has guided me down through the years. And I don't have time to go in that. But you know, the Lord guides His children. He's promised He's going to guide His children. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. I'm glad that I can stand up here on this platform this morning and recollect back for these past almost 44 years and say that things always hadn't been smooth and hadn't always been even, and I haven't always done everything that I should have done. I've missed the Lord's leading many times, missed His will. But through it all, I can look back and see the hand of God guiding me since I got saved. And you know what? Every child of God could stand up here and say that same thing this morning. He permitted me to be born in a Christian home around the old-time religion. He led me to that revival the night I was saved, and He was there. See, that was of God. What if I'd have gone to a dead, cold service where there's a bunch of church house full of worldlings and carnal people, Brother Sandy, I wouldn't have got saved that night. But I went to a church that night where there's a few people that knew the Lord. And the Lord was there, and I was saved that night. That was the hand of God leading me there that night when He was working. Then the Lord called me to preach, and I fought the call to preach for a number of years, but I went down into Mississippi to college to play football down there. And while I was down there one night, I surrendered to preach. The hand of God was in that and led me over to Bob Jones University to prepare for the ministry. Then as I looked back, I went up in the mountains and prayed, Lord, lead me just to the right spot You want me to go. The Lord led me up into Illinois into youth work. I singled that time. And when I got up into Illinois, I didn't realize it, but He had an unclaimed blessing waiting on me up there. There was Sister Lashley sitting there waiting on me when I got up there. And it wasn't long before she proposed to me. Now, you know I'm telling the truth now, honey. Preachers don't lie. You know that. And then the hand of the Lord was in that. Then the hand of the Lord was in me coming here to this church. I'll never doubt that. The Lord has blessed me. As the song says, He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whatever I do, this is a child of God's testimony. Whatever I do, wherever I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Now, I've missed the will of the Lord many times, I'll have to admit. But the Lord has so graciously led me around and over and through and in spite of my mistakes and faults and failures. The hand of God. And every child of God can stand up there and say, yes, the Lord. As I look back, I can say, God has led me all the way. And you can look back and see the Lord's blessing and leadership in spite of problems that surely will come to us all. Then, oh my, let me just say this, two or three things right quick. I'm leaving out so much, but I believe this is what the Lord wanted. And He's another reason I know I'm saved, as He answered. He has answered many of my prayers. My testimony is what the psalmist said in Psalm 34:6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I'm glad I can say that, and every child of God can say that. That every child of God that's living right can say that. Oh, there's so much I can say about prayer. One of the precious things about the Lord, one of His very names is Thou that hearest prayer. The psalmist said in Psalm 65:2, O Thou that hearest prayer, unto Thee shall all flesh come. Isn't it wonderful to believe in a God that hears and answers prayer, and then for a child of God to get prayers through and know that He hears and answers prayer. Now notice I said He's answered many of my prayers. I didn't say all of them. Well, the worst thing could ever happen to you is get every prayer through and get an answer from God, a positive answer. Listen, you'd be ruined, and I would too, if the Lord had given me everything I wanted and prayed for. Why? Our earthly fathers, why, certainly they don't give us everything we ask for. They know what's best for their children. And our heavenly Father certainly has as much sense as an earthly father. He knows what's best for us. But he has heard enough of my prayers that I know that he hears and answers my prayers. Many of them. And that is the birthright of every child of God, is to be able to go directly unto the Father and take our burdens and petitions to him. As the song says, leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust, never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Is that right, Cindy? Didn't you experience that just a few days ago? Yes, another. How many of you have ever experienced that? You didn't know which way to turn and the Lord helped you. See, God's good to his children. Those are saved and living for him. He's good to his children. Getting a little foggy up here this morning. I don't even worry. I can't even see my notes here. But the Lord's good. The Lord's good. Then, let me just say this right quick. Another reason I know that I'm saved is the Lord won't let me get by with sin. Do you know that? Two class of people in this world. Sinners who have never been saved and sinners who have been saved. You mean preacher Christians sin? Yep, they sure do. And the Bible says you're a liar if you say you don't sin. What the Bible, if any man in 1 John 1:10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. But the big difference, and I don't have time to go into this, the big difference is this. The Lord is going to wait on the devil's children, the unsaved, till the judgment to make you pay for sin. But he'll make a Christian pay now for his sin. A Christian, no Christian can get by with his sin now. That's the difference. When a child of God sins, when an unsaved person sins, no child of God gets by with sin. It happened. David sinned, and he immediately got caught in his sin. And the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, when we sin, gets us that quick, doesn't it? And we have as soon as I do that, which is, it doesn't have to be a bad thing. It just has to be contrary to the will of God. And immediately, I have a sense of guilt. And I lose my joy. And I lose that sweet presence of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I'll go for days and days and not enjoy that sense of the Lord's presence. I say, Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have done that. And his old Uncle Bud Robson used to say, the birds start singing in my soul again. And see, a Christian cannot get by with sin. And Hebrews 12 says, if ye be without chastisement, then you're bastards and none of his. So if a child of God can sin and go on in sin and never feel guilt and never feel remorse and never lose a sense of God's presence and never be whipped to the Lord, he's not saved. Now, there's a whole message in that. But let me just give you one other thing. One of the reasons, the Lord's been so good to me. And it doesn't matter what you think about me. It does matter what God thinks about me. And I want you to love me, but oh, I've got to have him. I've got to have the Lord, see. I'm a goner without him. I'm not a goner if you turn your back on me. But boy, I'm in bad shape if the Lord turns his back on me. And so, and I want your love, and you to back me, but I've got to have the Lord. And he's been with me, and I thank him for it. And I want to just please, in the rest of my days on this earth, he's been so good to me. Now here's the payoff for a child of God. Here's the payoff. I thought just a few days ago that I was going to slip into eternity. And I know I'm saved this morning. Not because I pastor church with a good crowd like this. Not because that I joined the church or hadn't done this or hadn't done that. That's not assured of salvation. But folks, the bottom line is this. When I faced death, what I thought was a possibility of death, He gave me peace in my soul. And that's, the devil may bother me. It's going to take the devil a long time to get me to doubt my salvation anymore. Sometimes the devil will say, it's just an emotional experience. You've just intellectual thing. You know the devil, how he comes at you. The brother, just a few days ago, our regular people have heard this. Many of you haven't, so let me quickly tell you this just in a minute or two. But the doctor, I went to the doctor the other here about 4 weeks ago, and he put me on a treadmill, and he scared him to death. He stopped that thing. He said, "Don't you feel any pains in your chest?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, this machine says you have a diseased heart and a heart, severe heart blockage." He said, "You're going to have to choke it out," and I won't go into detail. I've spent 40 minutes on the whole sermon. I won't go into detail. But he's going to have to cut out your church work, cut it back. And he said, "You're going to have to cut out all outside activity." And I said, "Well, Doc, I was going home right now and pruning some fruit trees." And he said, "You can forget those fruit trees. And Brother Bob, I'm still waiting when you come down and finish pruning those fruit trees." Bob never has got down there now. And he's going to help me when I was auto sick, but he forgot me now. I'm feeling well, Bob. But still got a lot of work to go down there, Bob. But I said, "Well, Doc, I went hunting Monday and walked about 4 or 5 miles, kicked rabbits out of briars up and down." He said, "Be no more hunting." And that liked to kill me, Brother Floyd. Those four fine beagle dogs out there like to kill me. And now, folks, to be honest, I was scared. I was scared when the doctor told me that. I'm not going to be standing up here and tell you I wasn't scared. I was. Now, I didn't go to pieces over it. I certainly would have to be honest and tell you I was scared. But to make a long story short, I believe in prayer. You say, "Preacher, you're a great man of prayer." No, but great people of prayer just know that God can answer them, their prayers, and they need God, and God's able, and your only hope is just to cry out to God. Now, that's the way to pray, folks. You don't have to be a great person of faith. Just believe God hears and answers prayer, and just cry. Just keep, "Lord, I'm a goner. Lord, I won't make it if you don't help me." And I call, we've got the greatest prayer meeting in America right here on Saturday morning. And if I had a need, want somebody to pray for me, I'd come in here on Saturday morning, Brother Sandy, get these men to pray for me. Because I know God blesses in our prayer meeting. And I got our men on Tuesday night, for they was going to go down in my heart on Wednesday morning. I got with 42 of our men came around here. And I'm not charismatic. I don't go around having healing services and all like that. I believe God can heal, though. Yeah. And when He wants to, He's able. And our men, four of them, got right here with me on my knees and anointed me with oil according to James 5. Yeah. And prayed that tomorrow, "Preacher, Lord, when our preacher, they go down our preacher's heart, would you make that there be nothing there and that everything be okay so he can keep preaching?" Our men prayed and God met with us. And I thank God for praying men. I thank God for the praying men He's given us in our church. And I had to go leave at 5:30 the next morning. So I got up here at 3:30 and came up here and read the word, sung and prayed, got on my face for about an hour praying, getting in His word. And I cried out and I said, Lord, would you help me today? And Lord, if you want me to keep preaching, and Lord, if you want my ministry to continue, I said, Lord, you're going to have to be with me, and Lord, you're going to have to help me. And I said to the Lord, I said, I don't want to go up there scared. I want to be a testimony in front of my wife and the friends that will be there and the doctors and the nurses. And I said, Lord, help me to have a testimony when they go down in my heart. And that morning at 9:30, four of our members, let's see, my wife was there, and Brother Gary was standing by the bed, and see, J. Jean. And Roy, what are you doing up in the crow's nest up there? But anyway, these four people were there in my room, and in walked seven doctors. Those, I think a number of them had those white robes on. It looked like a Ku Klux Klan convention. All those doctors coming in there. And my medical doctor showed the cardiologist a ream of report on my heart. And that cardiologist glumly said, yes, he does have a, and these people heard him say that, he does have a diseased heart and a blockage. And he walked over to me where I was on the bed, come over like that, and he said, now we consider this a relatively safe procedure. But he said, we want you to understand the risk. He said, when you go in your main artery, go into your heart, bleeding could start, and we couldn't stop it. He said, we could get in your main artery, and you could have a heart attack. We could put the dye in your heart, and your heart could be allergic. I'd go that quick. And you know what? I wasn't afraid. I said, I understand, doctor. I understand. And see, when I got there, somehow, before I realized it, God was giving me a peace, and I wasn't afraid. But that was the Lord. That wasn't Gene Lassie, because I was scared to death when he first told me that. And they rolled me out of the room there, headed me to the operating room, and I was joking with people going down there, rolling me out in the hall. I really was. The Lord was taking care of me. And I got in the operating room. Now, our people have heard this. Some of you haven't. I'm telling it real quick. And they put me on that operating room, on the operating table. And I said, listen, I'm a Baptist preacher. I said, before you start, I said, I have to do two things. I had to, first of all, pray. And second, I had to take an offering here. And that nurse I said that. And then I'm about to go down to my heart. You see, when God gives you the peace, you can have a good time and enjoy your. I feel sorry for you that don't enjoy your salvation. Some of you look like it's turned in on you. And listen, you can face death and spit in the devil's face. Do you know that if you're a child of God? You can now. That's what the old time religion, I'm talking about, do you know him? That's what I'm talking about this morning. And they started that procedure. To go down in my heart. And I was lying there looking up, and I thought, well, they started a procedure, started to put dye in that catheter going into my heart, and I thought, well, if that dye hits my heart and I'm allergic, I'll go to heaven off this operating table, and I'll see Jesus before I ever leave this operating table. And folks, you don't know what great joy that it brought to my heart to be able to have peace knowing the next few seconds I might leave this old life. That's the payoff of being a real Christian. About 10:30 went down my heart. About 11, the doctor Ladley said, we found nothing. We found no sign of any blockage. Now, the only bad thing about it, I got a grudge against a lot of my people. I'll never forgive them. A bunch of people said, preacher, they must have tested your head and not your heart if they found nothing. And now, you said that. Don't even come around me. I'll hold a grudge against you as long as I'm on this earth. But you know what? I don't know what the Lord did, folks. I don't know what happened. All I can say is I rejoice in the Lord did something for me, and I praise Him for it. Now, the Lord saved me over 40 years ago. And folks, when you get saved, when you know Him, I'm glad you sung that. When you know Him, see, the Lord will help you down through life. He'll hear your prayers. He'll guide you. And when it comes time, it wasn't my time to cross over, but I'm glad I know now. When it does come time, then I'll be ready to go. And let me sum it up by saying this. If you had to face death this morning, do you have the assurance that if you would close your eyes here, you'd wake up in heaven? That's what real salvation is. And I don't want to hurt you, but I want to help you. You need salvation. that not only bring the presence of the Lord in your life and His help in life, but to help you to one day to cross over the assurance that God will be there with you. And when you open your eyes on the other side, you'll be in heaven in the presence of the Lord. Let me ask you this question. Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Can you say with the psalmist, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." Can you say with the Apostle Paul, "I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day"? Now, the question, as the song said, I want to press on your heart right now as I close. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? To whom to know aright is life forevermore. Do you know Christ today? I'm glad over 40 years ago, almost 44 now, that I received Him, became personally acquainted with Him, and He's been with me down through the years. And what He's done for me and every other child of God, saved child of God in this house today, what He's done for us and me and us, then He wants to do for every one of you. Now, if I didn't believe that, I never would preach anymore. I never would preach another time, because the Bible says, it's not His will at all, any should perish, but all should come repent. He says, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." And I can say just what the Word says if you'll just come on to Jesus. Come like you are. Say, "Lord, I don't have that blessed assurance. Lord, I want to know that I know that I know that I'm saved." And He said, "Him that cometh unto me, there's no way I'll cast you out." He said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door," that's talking about his heart, your heart, "I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Do you know Him this morning? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Now, nobody leaving, please, for just a minute. Please don't leave. Please don't leave. Unless it's absolute emergency. Absolute emergency. Absolute emergency. It's only what time I want anybody to leave. Don't break the service and hinder people from maybe getting saved. How many of you today can say, "Preacher, I know what you're talking about. The Lord saved me. He's been good to me. He's helped me. And He has heard some of my prayers. And the Lord, I want to praise Him for it. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I know the Lord. I'm glad I can just say that I am a born-again child of God." I'm not saying, "Are you a Baptist?" or anything like that. I'm saying, do you know Him? Do you know Him? Are you personally acquainted with Him? Raise your hand with no one looking around. If you can say that, "I am saved." Yes, yes. Hold it up there. Hold up just a moment. Hold it up. And put it back down. Yes, put it back down. Now, almost every one of you could say that. Number couldn't. Most of you could say it. Now, I'm thankful for that. But maybe there's some this morning say, "Preacher, I believe I'm saved, but I lack that blessed assurance." You ought to come and settle it. You can settle it if you'll come and just get on your knees. And let somebody take the Word and show you from the Word how you know that you're saved. You can know from the Word that you're saved today. Maybe you're a Christian and out of the will of God. You need to come and rededicate. The reason, if you're saved and God's not blessing you, it's because you're not out and out for Jesus Christ. There may be sin in your life. You need to deal with that sin problem. Or maybe you know this morning you've never been saved. God's revealed it to you. And you'll say, "Preacher, I'd like to know that I'm saved today." Whatever the need is, if there's a need, if you are saved, if you're not, and God's spoken to your heart, and you want this preacher to pray for you, and others know how to pray, if you need prayer for any reason, and you believe the Lord's spoken to your heart and revealed your need this morning, let me pray for you. Just slip your hand right up. Just slip your hand right up and put it right back down. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Just slip the hand right up. "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me." Is there someone like that? God bless you. Anyone else? Maybe you say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. If I die right now, I don't have the assurance I'd be saved. Pray for me." Is there anyone else like that? Raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Anyone else? Anyone else? "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure about it. But I'd like to be sure before I leave here. On the main floor, up in the balcony. Not sure, preacher. Pray for me." Just slip that hand right up. Oh, I want you to know the same Jesus that I came to know 40 years ago. Oh, listen. You need to know Him. Do you know Him this morning? Now, are there Christians here that say, "Preacher, I am saved, but I am not in the will of God. I need to do business with the Lord. I need to rededicate my life. I need to get on fire for the Lord. I'm missing the blessings of God in my life." And Christian, you can't be a half-hearted Christian and know the blessing of God. You're going to have to go all out for God, or you'll be a defeated person the rest of your days on this earth. Other Christians, the preacher, pray for me. I'm saved, but pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Just slip your hand right up. Yes, God bless you. God bless you over here. Anyone else? Anyone else? Right quick. I'm going to pray right now. Anyone else? Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Pray for me. Anyone else? Right quick. I'm going to pray. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? In the balcony. What about in the balcony? Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you today for this privilege of coming into your presence. And Lord, I'm thankful that over 40 years ago, Lord, you did save me as a young boy, 13-year-old boy. And you've been good to me down through the years. And I haven't been what I should have been. And I'm sorry for that, but you've been a wonderful Savior. Father, I pray for every hand that went up and those that didn't go up. Lord, those that said, "I have a need," pray for me. Whether it need to be saved or get assurance.